One night this week in Night Seder, so I went over to Reb Nechemya Myers, and I asked him if he has any inside information as to why Rabbi Shurkin has been talking an awful lot lately about having chutzpah to your Rebbe. He talked about it at the Shabbaton, that was the chet of Kairach, of having chutzpah to his Rebbe, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And last week, on Friday, he really said a massive chiddush that Shimuna HaMayrim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, Shimuna HaMayrim, Rashi says, HaMayra es Mayreim, you're the teachers of your teacher. You're teaching me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Was chutzpah to the Rebbe, that was the chet of the Mei Meriva. And then the wildest chiddush was, he said that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael was because he failed as a Rebbe. Because he allowed his Talmidim to have chutzpah to him. So I asked Nechemya, I mean, I know from experience, my son used to drive Rabbi Shurkin a couple of times every day. So a lot of times, you know, you get inside information as to what's going on over there. Why is he talking about chutzpah to a Rebbe? He said, I don't know. I don't know why. You know, he always talks about having a Rebbe and chutzpah to a Rebbe and kavod harav and everything. He doesn't know. I certainly don't know. But since it was in my head, it called to my attention that in this week's parsha, the end of the parsha, you most probably have the biggest chutzpah to a Rebbe or chutzpah to another human being in Kol HaTorah Kula. After Bilam fails, he can't curse Klal Yisrael, so he looks like a pretty big loser. He comes to Balak and he says, listen, you know, Elokeim Shalelu Shnei Zima. If you want to start off with Klal Yisrael, so loose B'nois Midyan on them. Get them to run after a bunch of shikses. And they're prey in our hands. And so Balak has nothing to lose, and he goes and he does it. And before you know it, all Klal Yisrael is running after B'nois Midyan, running after the shikses. They're running after Baal Pa'ar, and another Magefa breaks loose. COVID all over again. We had it a couple parshiyos ago, and we have it now. The Magefa breaks loose. But the worst part of the whole story is when Zimri enters into the scene, and the Pasuk tells us, V'nei ish mibnei Yisrael, wasn't Stam an ish, he was a Nasi. Vayakrev el echov hamidyonis. He brings to his brothers the midyonis, who was Kuzbi bas Tzur, princess no less. Le'ene Moshe, le'ene koadas bnei Yisrael. Ve'hema boichim pesach oil mayim. Why are they crying? They're crying because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. The Gemara tells us that Klal Yisrael says this is the same Moshe Rabbeinu that was able to stand up against everybody by the eagle. He broke the luchas. And he doesn't know what to do. So they started to cry. But what did Zimri say to Moshe? And this here's the chutzpah. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin also, Li'ene Moshe, he brings Kuzbi Li'ene Moshe. Amru Lo'i Moshe, he says, Moshe, Zu Asura Zu Muteres. Takes her by her hair, you know, like a Shaila to the Rav. This is Mutter, this is Asur. Im Taimer Asura, and if you say that it's Asur, Bas Yisra Mi Tirulach, so what are you doing? What are you doing marrying a Bas Midyan, Moshe Rabbeinu? Ha 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 ha. What a chutzpah. I remember when I was in ninth grade, so we had a rule in the yeshiva. The yeshiva made us daven in the yeshiva, no matter where we lived. I mean, if you live 5 miles away, but everyone more or less in walking distance. The Rebbeim had to walk the yeshiva also. I would be putter because I live in Telstone. But I remember there was one guy in the class, a major, major mechutzef, and he was sitting there during davening and talking a lot, loud. And the English principal, Rav Emanuel Schwartz, a chash of a yid, Tarvadas Talmud, His son is now the menahel of the yeshiva. He couldn't take it. And he came over, even though it wasn't his responsibility, but, you know, he came over, he was like, what are you talking so much for? You know, be quiet. And the guy ignored him and just kept on talking. And he went over there, what are you talking for? And remember, the guy said to him, Rabbi, who's making more noise now, me or you? I think back at the experience, a bunch of, you know, teenage kids, they all snickered and laughed. He should have reared back and slapped them in the face. But that's what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Zimri gets a little bit more than the proverbial slap in the face. Vayikach Pinchas roimach biyadai. Pinchas goes ahead and he takes a spear and he swings into action. Not the wild-eyed zealot like the Rosh Hashiva always says, you know, that wasn't, Pinchas was a holy man. But he takes the spear and he goes to the tent and he skewers them, Zachrus b'toich nakvus, and he pulls them out on the spear. Look what everybody, this is what's going on over here. Tateyotzara magefa. The magefa stopped. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Aaron HaKohen. Talked about it last week also. Aaron HaKohen, after they say, Atem amitem es HaMashem, you killed all the people, he goes and takes his pen, he takes his machta b'yaray, he stands in the middle, v'teyotzer ha-magefa. Even though they attacked him personally, he stops it. Because he's the Yayiv Shalom, right of Shalom. Pinchas is also zeichet, v'teyotzer ha-magefa. Tactics look a little bit different. Comes out with the skewer. This is why it stopped. But if you look at the psukim, there's a very interesting thing, and this is what I want to point out today, as a hemshech and a hashlama to what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen vayokam mitoch ha'eda vayikach remach biyadai. Before he takes the roimach, he gets a little bit of an introduction. A lengthy introduction. Now, Rabbi Wein always said, when they introduce him to speak at one of these functions, they give him this whole lengthy introduction, and he always gets up and he says, hey, after such an introduction, I can't wait to hear what I have to say. So he gives a big introduction. What's the introduction? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. HaKohen doesn't go on Pinchas because he wasn't a Kohen yet. So who does it go on? Elazar? No, it doesn't say Elazar HaKohen. Ben Aaron HaKohen. Targum Yenison ben Uziel says ben Aaron Kohen HaGadol. Pinchas over here acts as the descendant of Aaron the Kohen Gadol. So let me just ask you guys the question. As a hemshech of what we've been talking about, the role of Aaron HaKohen was he was the Yair of Shalom, right of Shalom. He wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't the task force. He was Makar of everybody. He loved everyone, just loved them. How does this fit in? How does Pinchas taking his Reimach and skewering Zimri and Cosby, how does that fit in with being the Ayav Shalom, the Right of Shalom? Unless we'll see that without one you can't do the other. As a Hashem, that's something that you got to take with you for life, because you go through life, you see evil. And there are different types of evil. And you have to know one and you have to know the other. You have to know to deal with each thing its proper time and its proper way. I always think to myself, and say it every once in a while, maybe not often enough, there are two types of evil in the world. One type of evil, if you want to put it most starkly, you could say, you know, is Hitlerian evil. Hitler yimach shemai. Kill, genocide, rape. Locate what good is and go out and destroy it. Wipe out all vestiges of good. Go, you know, whatever. Go on a rampage. like the bad guy in Marvel Comics, you know, whatever. Evil, that's what I associate with, evil, right? Now, if there is really such a thing, and there is, just to a lower degree, but, you know, that's, I would say, the lesser of the two evils. Why? Because it's just a matter of time where the long arm of the law catches up with you. No one is going to put up with murder and rape and genocide for a very long period of time. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. The world can't function like that, and everybody knows that. So it's disgusting at the core, and that's the lesser of the two evils. What's the greater of the two evils? The greater of the two evils is basically you bear witness to something which is really wrong, but because you are a liberal, and because of the fact that you want to be nice to everybody, so you smile, you look the other way, or through the koyach of leitzanus, you basically say, you know, whatever it ain't as bad as it seems to be, or through twisted logic, you even come out in a way of, you know, just justifying the whole thing. Okay, fine, you know, he grew up in an abusive household, you know, his father beat him, okay, so therefore, yeah, well, what do you want anymore? Lu Yitzuya had a group in society, you know, that lived in the inner city. And everybody knows, you know, for some reason, you know, they don't really want to get jobs. And, you know, there's a lot of drug peddling there and a lot of violence and a lot of, you know, illegitimate marriages or whatever it is. It's destroying society. Okay, fine. So you have one guy, you know, renegade crazy, who will say, okay, fine, no tolerance. Finish it off, like the city of New York, you know, years ago. But then you have somebody else, and what do you mean? It's not their problem, they're the Nebuchs. It's the police that's the problem. It's the law and order that's a problem. You know, you have to understand. You have to get it. Or you have a bunch of Jews who are running after a bunch of shiksas from Midian. And you say, okay, fine, listen, it's a Messiah, we have to be mechanich them, you know, it's hard. Imagine what it would have been like if we were there. We're coming closer to home. Imagine that, you know, you have a yeshiva where people are very, very challenged by distractions. To the extent that for a lot of people, it really is a major, major challenge to be able to sit through a Seder in the Beis Medrash and to show up via Chavrusa. Or to sit through a Shir without going out two or three or four times. I remember Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, Zechet Tzadik Levrach, in his day, he said, a Rebbe can't be competition for Sesame Street. English guys know what I'm talking about. You can't be competition for Sesame Street. You're not going to win against Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster will demolish you every time. Even if you're the biggest London in the world, Cookie Monster will win. You can't win against Cookie Monster, so you certainly can't win against Adam and Chava, Kodem Achet. You can't. You got images flitting through your mind for the rest of your life, or until you have something more powerful to deal with. How can you do that? So you can sit and smile and empathize and say, okay, fine, but you just have to understand. And you do understand. But on the other hand, until you recognize the fact that there's a problem and that you got to do something about it, so there cannot be any Ayev Shon Baroyev Shon. I often think that, you know, if I owned a business in the state of New Jersey today where they just made marijuana legal, so what would I do? Would I make everyone sign a contract? Most probably not. Probably just say, listen, bud, you keep your job, But keep your eyes open, and if you're the boss or you're the supervisor, and the guy's a pothead and he misses work often, and his head is not where it's supposed to be, he's a very nice guy. You know, we'll send him to therapy and everything like that, but like, he can't work for us anymore because, you know, you're not part of the team. People have different challenges. People are dealing with different things. Ayiv Shalom, Rayiv Shalom says, just love them. That's true. But until you recognize that Ad Kan, and that it's not functional, and that it's got to stop, and that it's got to get better, you can't even get there. So the liberal will say, well, snitching is wrong. And the liberal will say, that's not the way to be mechanech. You do it like this, you do it like... That's missing the point. Snitching might be 100% wrong. Who cares? That's not the issue. The issue is that if it's not functional, it's got to stop. And then once it starts to function, and we're honest about where we're holding... So then you can be the Ayiv Shalom Barayiv Shalom. Vateyotzer HaMagefa. How could it be that the same person, Aaron HaKohen, is mentioned Vateyotzer HaMagefa by just after they just insulted him? He goes out and he saves everybody. Such a nice guy. His grandson, Ben Elazar Ben Aaron HaKohen, Vateyotzer HaMagefa for taking out a spear and skewering people in the middle of an immoral act. To show that this doesn't go. Simple. The pasuk tells it ourselves. Tells it itself. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akayin Heshiv es Chamasi. How did he stop the anger? Me'al bnei Yisrael. Bekanoi es kinosi b'toicham. With an act of kanos. Almost vigilanteism. Right? Goes out and he takes the Ratzon Hashem with a vehemence. What? Shalom. You want peace. You want to be an Ayiv Shalom. You want to be a Raydev Shalom. You can only do it if you're honest about what's going on. And that's the message of Pinchas. Zimri ben Salu is the ultimate Mechutzav. He goes and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, whatever, this one mutter, this one asr. And if she's asr, so then what do you do with your wife, Moshe Rabbeinu? It's evil. It's disgusting. But I'll tell you, well, you know what's more evil? What's more evil are the 10 guys, the 5 guys, who are sitting next to Zimri and they're laughing along with him. That's more evil. They say, but Zimri, oh, Zimri was the Nasi. He was a festegvir. He had a lot of money. He was a cool guy in Zimri. And Zimri was the biggest lamdan in the Beis Medrash, too. He came with the best raya's. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a tzaddik. He's a neb. He's a loser. Be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Go out like Zimri and go after the B'nai's Midyan. That's where the action is at. Those guys are worse than Zimri himself. Why? Because everyone is nauseous from what Zimri did. But to stand by and not to, what's it called, and to tacitly approve, not saying anything, that's what allows it to continue on. Coming up to Shiva Asar B'Tamas. Everybody has their own cheshbon ha-nefesh to do. Everybody has their own challenges. And what's it called? I'm still young enough to identify with people's challenges. I was young not too long ago myself. And anybody who wants to work, everybody's there to work with them. to use excuses of liberalism and to say, okay, fine, that's not the Mahalach and snitching is wrong. It's just a totally obfuscation of the entire issue. The issue is that if people want to grow, if people want to be on a team, if people want to produce for the business, so to speak, you can't come in with pothead. That's the lesson of Zimri. That's the lesson of Pinchas. Pinchas basically tells us that in order to be the nicest guy in the world, so there has to be a relationship of honesty, and there has to be a relationship of owning up to what you want and who you really are. That's a message to go into 3 weeks with. Everybody should be able to come out with all the right messages for themselves and have a good Shabbos.